Go Wildcats. All right, we are so happy that you are here. You can say that back if you're a Wildcat or a Wildcat parent. Let's do that again. Go Wildcats. All right. Some of you may be here for some of the other schools in town as well. Some of you are here in mourning. Some of you are here in celebration, as Justin mentioned earlier. I need to say, if you are a student here this morning and you do not have a church home yet, I just need to go ahead and tell you, we have the very best college minister in town. I was not making a joke. We do. If you do not come back here, that's on you, okay? You've already been told. There have been students who Justin and I have talked about this before, who they didn't get plugged in the beginning. They came back years later and they lamented, why didn't I come and enjoy this and get bonded to this group years ago? So I'm going to go ahead and encourage you to do that right now. Get plugged in. Your relationships that you develop and build these next few months and then years are so significant. We have watched God work to do wonderful things and relationships that you'll be able to have throughout the rest of your life. I've been blessed to be able to renew relationships that I had as a student many years ago, and now coming back to Abilene last year, it's a wonderful thing. So you are being prayed for. I want to mention again, if you didn't get your prayer card in, and as the trays were passing around earlier, or maybe you forgot after the announcement was made, I want you to know we have a second chance. If you want to write down a specific person, a teacher, a staff member, or a student that you want prayed for, or if you have a family, I'll echo Justin Walker as well. The Gulf Coast is my hometown. I have family that's there. I have parents that I was on the phone with this morning. Maybe you have some people that are on your mind right now that are dealing with the severe flooding and just the trauma of that. Put their name on one of these cards on the back of the seats, and you can put it in the basket over, you see the wall over there where you see Bread for the Journey. There's a basket over there that you can put cards in, and we are going to pray over those names. We're going to pray over those people. It is the start of a new school year. We do need to start with prayer, and we also need to start with maybe a look back so we can go forward. So I want to just take you on a little journey back. All of our staff were kind enough. I was going to show a picture, and I said, hey, I would love to show a school picture or a picture back from school days of all of our ministers. So let's stroll down memory lane together. This, no, I'm not 12 years old here. I was a freshman at ACU with this. There's hope, okay? That is from the good old Prickly Pear, RIP, Prickly Pear. I don't think it exists anymore. Let's go ahead and go to another one there. Now, Cynthia, I will tell you, is by far the most beautiful of all of us in these photos, for sure. But that is also from the Prickly Pear. So we have a lot of past Wildcats that are here on staff as well. Let's see who we have next. This is our new youth minister, Lance. He sent me a picture when he was in a senior in high school, and a very bearded fellow there. All right, some of you might be able to guess who this hot rod is. I did not ask Jack if this was a prom picture or if this is just what he wore to school every day. But this is a photo of Jack Hardcastle in high school there. Okay. The hair alone, right? There's an old school picture of Justin. I think this is college life, isn't it, Justin? This is college life, okay. Life is different in college. Here's okay, you knew Alan Klute was going to have something good. This is real, okay? The school year that you are embarking on is real. And one day we will look back together, won't we? We have been talking about hope in a future, and we are wrapping up that series of this month today. And we are prayerful. You know, one of the things that is exciting about a new school year is all of the things that we have in front of us. Right now, students, you got a 4.0, okay? Isn't that exciting? You've got straight A's. There's no marks against you yet. You haven't missed any assignments yet. Everything, the future is very, very bright right now. And that is something that's very exciting. Or those of you who are not students, but you're sports fans and your sports team, football is starting up. The great news is you haven't had a single loss yet, have you? You are undefeated on the sports year. Cowboys fans are excited about this. Texans fans are excited about this. If you are like me, though, when, not if, but when those losses happen, it hurts. It stings, doesn't it? It hurts in sports. It hurts in life. And sometimes over time, if there are enough losses, if there are enough hits, hope starts to sound more like what used to be rather than a reality of what is today. Our prayer throughout this series has not just been to go back and do a history lesson. You know, we looked at the hope in the desert with the Ethiopian eunuch who came to Christ. He was the first African to come to Christ. An incredible story of an outsider. Or when we looked at Ruth and we saw God work out this wonderful, just bringing joy in life where there was sorrow and misery. And we had Naomi, who is the equivalent of the female Job in Scripture that is able to join in that lineage, in that legacy, not only for her own family, but for all families of faith to be blessed through this family's life and their offspring. And last week, likewise, we looked at the story of how God is able to change the heart of the violent or the heart of those who struggle with hatred, like the Apostle Paul, and turn him into the preacher of the gospel of grace and love and peace. Sometimes, though, whenever we come to church or we go to Bible class, we come together and we worship, our worship services sometimes can feel more like a memorial service. And what I mean by that is we talk about all the things that God used to do. And we say, oh, wasn't it wonderful the things that God did back then? It's so great what God did back then with Ruth and Boaz. It's so great what God did back then using Philip and bringing Christ into the life of the Ethiopian eunuch. It's so great what God did back then being able to take a heart of violence and a heart of hatred like the Apostle Paul and change him and transform him and turn him around and use him. It's great that God was able to do that. It's great that He used to do that. And we come and we say, isn't it great what God did back then when He was present? Isn't it great what God used to do back then in the old Bible days? And we have our worship and we praise God for the history lesson. And then sometimes we leave places and gatherings like this and we go back and we go, it's good to remember what God used to do back then. But that hope, if it's not a present reality, if it's not something that we claim as we serve a God who is alive, who's not the God who was doing things, but the God who is here today. This isn't a memorial service, is it, church? We've gathered here in the name of the risen Savior. We've gathered here and we sing songs of praise to the living God who hears our worship, who experiences it alongside of us. We have a hope and a future. But if you do not believe this, and if you do not seize it as the God who is presently with us, not just the God who used to, but the God who does, sometimes that hope fizzles out. And your faith becomes just a memory of the past, like those old pictures we were looking at at a moment ago. Today we're talking about a hope that endures. And this is my prayer, this is our prayer at Hillcrest for all of us. Not just for your school year, we are going to pray about that. But for your life. That your faith encounter is not just about what happened back then or what you read about back then. But that you are experiencing in your life today a hope that is alive because you are experiencing God alive in your life right now. presently with us as we worship, as we pray, as we walk, as we live, as we breathe. A hope that endures. We have this text for us this morning coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I want us to read this together. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's start in verse 3 together and see this text. Because so often, hope doesn't spring from a place that we would expect. And Paul shares some with the church here in Corinth from his own life as a lesson to them about this enduring hope. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us again. On Him we have set our hope that He will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many." You know, it comes from a place that we usually don't expect, and it comes from a place that we usually ask God to spare us from. We don't use this kind of language, but it was so common whenever Paul spoke to other Christians. And that was this idea of sharing Jesus, as in sharing in the sufferings of Jesus. We talk about the cross and we preach about the cross, but we rarely consider it as an application of sharing the sufferings and the struggle as a part of deepening our relationship and our oneness with Jesus Christ. But that's exactly how the Apostle Paul talked about it in his own life. He did not find struggles or problems or opposition or adversity to be unfamiliar to the Christian life. In fact, for the Apostle Paul and for other Christians, this became an assurance that God was with them, because Jesus suffered as He lived faithfully to God. It's unnatural for us, isn't it? We don't like suffering. We don't like affliction. But if there is anything we know to be a universal experience for all people everywhere, it is suffering of various kinds and struggles of various kinds. And God doesn't remove that experience from a Christian's life. In fact, He embraces it. You see, God does something transcendent with the life of a Christian. Everyone's going to have those struggles. Everyone's going to have to deal with sin and the consequences of it in our world. And everyone's going to have to deal with death and its impact and its sting. That's universal. There's no getting around it for anybody. The difference is that in the church, we have a living hope, and we serve a God that takes the adversity and purposes it into opportunity. We have a God who takes the affliction and the sufferings, and as you are united with Jesus and you experience together, God doesn't walk out the door whenever things are getting difficult in your life, Christian. Do you hear what I'm saying? God doesn't walk out the door whenever you're battling. God doesn't walk out the door whenever you're dealing with some kind of trial or suffering in your life. God doesn't walk out the door whenever your family is going through a hardship or a difficult time, or a friend or a loved one is dealing with illness. God doesn't walk out the door in the life of a Christian. Instead, we have God in Christ walking even closer beside us in embracing the suffering together in the name of Jesus. We share in the sufferings of Christ, knowing that God does a work in the midst of pain. That God does a work in the midst of the hardship that's going on in your life. He doesn't leave it there. It doesn't end there. My heart was heavy whenever I got the phone call from my dad this morning. He said, "I don't know what all we're going to lose. The water keeps rising. It rained all night." Thinking to myself, I've got to go to the church and deliver this message on hope. My heart's heavy. But you know what? God is right there. He is right there in the storms. He is right there present. Justin shared from his friends and family, and the church shows up, doesn't it? Why? Because God is showing up. I know we don't see it the way that we want it. Deliverance doesn't always look like the way that we would expect it. But we serve a God who takes adversity and turns it into opportunity. And the church is the house of that testimony. You see, there was a turning point that took place that you and I know. Those who are outside of Christ do not understand this. But it's this turning point that has made all the difference in all of life. Go back one slide there, and let's show verse 9 again in the text. This is such a powerful statement coming from the apostle. Suffering exists. Christ is with us. We suffer with Christ. But there's this comfort that comes, and you know that it's a reality. It's not just a history lesson. It's not just something that happened back in the old Bible days. It's a present reality as long as you believe and understand that verse 9 is true. Indeed, we felt, Paul says he and his compatriots here went through situations in adversity. He even thought he was going to lose his life. They despaired of life itself. But they had this reminder. He says, but this happened, verse 9, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raised the dead in the past. Did you notice what your text says there? But on God who raises the dead. When we talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead as the turning point of human history, we're not just talking about something that no longer affects life. We are talking about God breaking through and continuing to do so because the power to raise the dead has started in Jesus Christ. The oppression of sin, the oppression of death, the oppression of living in a broken and fallen world that has disasters and that has all kinds of problems and that has racism and war and hatred and that has brokenness of every different type. When Jesus not only died and took the death of humanity and embraced our sins and our fallenness, but when God raised Him up, we now have a new reality. The cycle of sin and death has to come into confront the reality of the God who now raises the dead, and the chain has been broken. Do you see what Paul's saying here? And so we're learning not to trust ourselves, not to rely on ourselves. That's a hard lesson. That's a hard lesson for Americans. You know, verse 9 is very tough for us. You're an American. You have rights. You've been raised with a certain idea of your individuality, of what success looks like and what strength looks like. You've also got different ideas about what failure looks like. And if you can't rely on yourself, many times that looks like failure in America. We believe in being self-reliant, don't we? But it's a lie. If you rely on yourself, you will not overcome sin, will you? The temptations that you have are too heavy. If you're relying on yourself to put your life back together or put your marriage back together or your family, it's just not going to work. Paul says that moment of despair, that moment where it seemed like death was imminent, became a lesson. And he wants to impart that lesson and reminder to all Christians. We're not doing this on our own. We're not relying on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. The lesson here is that God, who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, is not going to leave you helpless or hopeless. That He has a work that He's finishing in the life of believers. He says, we have set our hope on the God who raises the dead. Maybe you've heard this story before, the story of the neurotic rooster. He needed to learn this lesson, the neurotic rooster. It's a barnyard tragedy. You ever heard this before? Well, you know how it works on the farm. The rooster, the sun would rise, he would wake up, and he would wake up the hens, and he would wake up the sheep, and he would wake up, he'd crow, and he'd wake up all the animals, the cattle, even the farmer. His job was so important, and this would happen. The sun would rise up, and he'd wake up every day, and he'd crow, and he'd wake up all of the animals, and he'd wake up the farmer. But one day, he had some foul logic. Alan Klute could appreciate that one. He had some foul logic. He reversed things in his mind. He started to think to himself that the sun rose when he crowed. And so he couldn't sleep anymore. He became the insomniac rooster. He couldn't sleep at night. He was worried if he didn't wake up, all of the order of the universe would fall apart. Sad story. He had to go off to live in the home for disturbed roosters, okay? A lot of Christians have similar struggles. We buy into a lie. Listen, if this was true for the apostles, if it was true for our brothers and sisters back then when we go, look what God did back then. Look how God showed up back then. Back in the apostolic days, God was doing things and wonderful things were happening and lives were being transformed and all of this was being worked out and we forget that the very same wonder that was being worked out then is the very same source for us today. It wasn't them, it wasn't themselves. And that's the lesson for us too, isn't it? So bondage can come in a lot of different ways. Sometimes our bondage is our self. And this idea that we are our own masters. And we need to remember how weak we are and how much we need God to raise us up. I love what he goes on and says here in verse 10. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us again. On Him we have set our hope that He will continue to deliver us. I want us to do something for just a moment. I want us to say He has delivered us, and then we're going to have just a pause of silence for just a moment. And I'm going to invite you to think about what are some of the things that God has done. You didn't just get here on your own, is what we're saying. We are acknowledging that it's by the grace of God that we have been brought to where we are in our lives today. And you might be saying to yourself that your life is still very messy and you still got a lot of problems. But I know that God has done something to bring you to the point where you are today. Even if all you can say is, years ago I put my faith in Jesus Christ and I've had a lot of missteps along the way, can I at least call you to remember that God has delivered you just from being able to know Him in the beginning, to be able to say and claim Him that Christ is your Savior, that you are a child of God, you are a son or daughter of God. So together, I want us to just have a moment here. We're going to say, He has delivered us. And I want to give you just a moment to think about what has God delivered you from already in your life. Let's say that together. He has delivered us. Think for just a moment. God has placed people in your life. Somebody shared with you the gospel of Jesus. Somebody told you about mercy.
and forgiveness. If that's all that you can claim this morning, that's no small thing. We thank God for the deliverance that He's brought us in the past. Now let's invite the second part of this statement together. He has delivered us, and He will deliver us again. Let's say this together. He will deliver us again. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? This is not a memorial service. We do not gather here on a weekly basis to remind one another about the history without being able to remind each other of the present reality, and even more exciting, the future. Hope in a future is a real thing. The message that God spoke through Jeremiah so many generations ago for God's people way back then is just as much a banner for God's people to lift up today. It may be the banner that you lift up to start this school year. It may be the banner that you lift up for whatever trials that your family's going through right now, whatever marriage struggles or relationship struggles that you're facing right now. And the enemy is whispering in your ear. We know how he works. And he's saying to you, you know what? God can't help you with that. He's got other problems. He's got other needs. Or haven't you already prayed and haven't you already cried out? And what good did it ever do for you anyways? At those moments, I want you to whisper back or shout back to the enemy and be able to say, He has delivered me and He will deliver me again. We don't always explain this part of the Christian experience and the Christian story. It's not about being a finished product whenever you're baptized, is it? When you come to faith in Christ. It's an ongoing thing where we believe that this hope is coming. It's happening right now. I get so excited whenever I hear about it. I hear about stories of faith. You got to open up, church. Don't just open your Bibles if you're not going to open your life too. If you're going to open your Bibles and read about these great heroes, men and women of faith, in Scripture, if you're not also going to open up your life and share, and God has done, look, God has done and God is doing in my life. Because He's not a God of a history book. That's why it's called the living Word of a living God who is present. And we do this together. Even the apostle, when he shared this message to the church, says, on this we've set our hope, the God who continues to raise the dead, the God who continues to deliver, and He will deliver. And he says, and you share in that as you help us by your prayers. Verse 11. I heard this story. Go ahead and show this picture from the next slide there. Some of you maybe heard this story about the Florida State football player last year, almost exactly a year ago, some of the football players from Florida State went and visited a local middle school. This picture went viral on the internet. In the picture, you see Travis Robinson, the football player there, sitting with a young man named Bo. Travis did not know that Bo was autistic. He did not know that no one sat with Travis at lunch any days. He did not know what a struggle it was for Bo to make friends, that he was isolated, the loneliness that he struggled with. He did not know how much his mother wept over her son's struggles, how much her son longed to hear every day when he would come home from school, "Did anyone sit with you today?" And the answer was always no. One gesture of kindness changed young Bo's life. And it was random. Travis shows up this day. He sits with young Bo. He has lunch with him. He asks, "Can I sit with you?" The young man says, "Sure." and it changed his life. Never again has Bo sat by. People are lining up. Cheerleaders are lining up to sit with Bo, okay? Everybody wants to be Bo's friend after he's... Talk shows have Bo and his mother come on. How long, I wonder, did Bo's mother or Bo's family pray about his condition? Pray for a friend to show up. I wonder how many prayers are being prayed right now by moms or by dads for the school year that's about to start up. Wondering, who's going to sit with my child? How are they going to treat my child? Is he going to have a friend? Will people care? Will people understand? We have no idea. You know, we have encounters all the time with people that we don't know what they're going through. You're going to see people this week. They're going to have things going on inside their lives, inside their hearts, that you won't know about. And you won't know who's been praying for them, that someone like you would show up and love on them and care for them and welcome them. Tell them that their life matters and that God created them with a hope and a future. And when the church does this together, we become the life vessel of hope and life for all the earth. And no matter what happens, God is there present in the struggle, supplying your life with what you need as a believer so that you become that lifeline for those struggling around us who are looking for an answer and who are looking for hope and a future today. Can you be that, church? I know that you can. I want to pray over you right now. Father, I pray that you would send us out. This is a time and a season of newness, Lord. This is also a time and a season that is an anxious time. A lot of unknowns. When things are unfamiliar to us, Lord, they can be scary. They can be difficult. People are needing to know that you are real, that your love is real, and that your grace is real. And maybe some have been going through difficult times. And it could be that when you send one of the brothers or sisters here, one from the family here, that the encouragement that you've given them through Jesus can be the spark that changes somebody's life this week. That it's not a random encounter, but it's an opportunity for us to share Jesus, to share your grace, to share your hope and your future. God, we believe you've called us to this. Help us to answer that call. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We offer that right now. There may be some that are here today, and it may be your heart that is heavy. We have elders, shepherds that will be here this morning to receive you. If you need prayer, if you need encouragement, if you have yet to put your faith, your trust, maybe you've been trying to do it on your own and you need to claim your faith in Jesus Christ today. No longer for yourself, no longer about you, but surrender your life to Jesus. Become His follower, confess His name, be united with Him in baptism, have your sins washed away, become a part of the family, and experience the hope and the future of a God who raises the dead. You can make that step in your life today, whatever your needs may be. We invite you right now. You can come. Let's stand together. Let's sing.